Michael, he doesn't know this. I'm going to get him to help me with an illustration here in a second. So if you could, yeah, just whenever you get. But what I'm going to ask you to do, Michael, is I'm going to want you to, you're going to stand over there and just put this on your head, okay? And then I'm going to stand over here, and I'm just going to shoot that thing right off your head, okay? Are you good with that?
I have a lot of trust in you, but not that much.
He's not going to do it. You probably shouldn't ask an employee, you know, how much do you trust me, like on stage in front of everybody this morning. But this morning we're beginning a new worship series called Arrows, all right? And so what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 127. So you can turn there if you want. We're going to be spending the next several weeks there, but we're going to be talking about finding the target in our families. And here's the thing. So, I'm not really going to make you do it. Michael's checking with me. Look at that. That's what I'm talking about. That's a good man. So what we're talking about is we're going to be talking about finding the target in your families. And here's the thing about AIM. So if I were to, now I think where my buddy Trey let me use this, and I feel like this is a left-hander. I feel like it's supposed to be like that. Is that right? I think that's right. Anyway, I'm not going to try to pull this right now, okay, because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of all of you. But when you're aiming something, right, when you're aiming at a target, you can aim at the target, but aim is a combination, actually, of location and distance. So one of the things that can happen if you're not careful, if you're just a little bit off on your aim, but you're shooting for a long distance, the further that arrow travels, right, the more you are off target. If you, even though you may just be a centimeter off your mark, right, where I'm standing, when that arrow flies over the course of a long distance, it's going to head in the wrong trajectory, right? And all kinds of things can affect the trajectory of your arrow when you're shooting, right? The wind affects it, gravity affects it, and so you've got to take all of those things into account whenever you're firing, right, whenever you're aiming at a target. So I don't know much about archery. I mean, I did it in RAs back in the day. My big experience with aim comes from the game of golf. Somewhere Bart was laughing whenever I said that because he's played golf with me. He knows how well I aim in golf. So I'm terrible at golf, okay? Well, I feel like when I'm playing golf, I feel like I paid some money to play. I'm going to get my money's worth. My cost per stroke is lower than almost everybody I know. And I feel like, look, that's a beautiful golf course out there. I want to see all of it, okay? I want to see all of the trees on this side, and I want to see all of the trees on this side. And so I feel like I really get a good experience every time I play golf because I'm experiencing the whole course. So, but the thing about golf, you know, when you line up your shot, right? So you want to make sure that your shoulders and everything and are aimed at where you're trying to shoot, right? And so you'll see golfers even, they'll hold their hands out, they'll put their golf club here and to make sure they're lined up. You know what I'm talking about? We do all kinds of weird things to make sure that we're lined up right. Because if you step up there and you're lined up just a little bit off, right, your ball, there's no telling where your ball might end up, okay? So you got to make sure that you're lined up right and that you're taking everything into account and that you're actually hitting the ball solidly, right? But when you're aiming, you can't just think about location. You got to think about distance too, right? And I think in our families, one of the things that we need to be thinking about and we need to be concerned about is sometimes in our families, we get just a little bit off, don't we? Just a little bit off the mark. And it doesn't feel like it's that big of a deal in the moment that we're a little bit off the mark. But here's the thing. You start to stretch that out over years and years and years, and you're going to find yourself in a place that you never really imagined you could be. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about some questions that we ought to be asking in our families if we're going to make sure that we're on target, okay? If we're going to make sure that we're staying on target. And every time I say that, you know what I think about? This is going to reveal my nerdiness to all of you. Every time I say on target, I think of Star Wars. Because you remember when Luke's flying in to the Death Star, stay on target, stay on target. You guys remember that? Anyway, all right, maybe just me. But anyway, that's what I think of every time I say it. And so I want to just say that. In fact, I want for you guys to keep that mantra in your mind, especially those of you who are parents right now, who are shepherding your families right now, I want you to have that in your mind. Stay on target, right? Because that's what we're going to be talking about, and that's what we have to be about as parents. We've got to make sure that we're on target in our families. And so we get to Psalm 127. The first question that you should be asking and I should be asking in our families, if we're going to stay on target, the first question we should be asking is, who's doing the building? Who's doing the building? Psalm 127, verse 1. Okay, let's look at the first part of verse 1. Here's what it says. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And so the first thing that we need to know, right? The first thing we need to know, if we're going to ask this question, who's doing the building, right? The answer to that question in our family should be God builds. God does the building, right? And that's the first thing that we've got to get to in our families. You and I cannot do the building unless the Lord builds it. The work of the builders is wasted. So what do we do? What's our job? Well, God builds, right? We surrender. That's what we do. And so let's start there, and let's look at what it means maybe for us to say that God builds. What does that mean? Well, it means he's in charge of the whole building process. And the good news is we've got some folks in our church who do build, like you build, right? You know about building. You build houses, you build stuff, right? And so you know all of the steps that you've got to take here. And so we're going to go through a few of those and consider, what does it mean to say that God builds? Well, the first thing, if God's doing the building, right? The first thing is God draws up the plans. He draws up the plans. The plans are his, ladies and gentlemen. And that's an important thing for you and I to recognize and remember, because what happens with us, right, is that we forget about that, right? God's doing the building. He knows exactly the kind of house that he wants to build. He knows exactly what it is that he's doing, right? And it's the house he's building is the best house. The house he's building is the one, right? That's what needs to be built. But you and I, we get caught up making our own plans, don't we? We're seeking to live our own lives according to the plans we've drawn up instead of the plans that God might have for us. The vision that you and I often have for our families it may be a good vision, but it's not the vision maybe that God has for our families. And unless we subject ourselves, our will, our plans to the plans of the builder, right? Then our families are never going to be what God has intended them to be. We've got to let him make the plans. So I don't know what that means for you today, right? Somebody maybe here this morning, maybe you're in a dating relationship with somebody and it's not healthy and you're trying to make it work, right? You're trying to figure it out. That's because you've got a plan. You have a vision for how your life is going to work, how your family's going to work. Maybe it's time to surrender your vision and your plan to the will of God. What does the Lord God Almighty have for you? Right? Others of us, man, we've got visions and plans for our families. We want to try to make our families just like the family that we grew up in, right? Because I grew up in a healthy family. I want my family to be just like that. And so I'm working so hard to try to make my family just like that. Others of us here I don't need an amen because your parents may be in the room, but somebody else here is like, I want my family to be opposite of the one I grew up. I don't want my family to be anything like the one I grew up in, right? I'm trying to make it different. And so what's happened is the incidents and the things that we've been through in our past have shaped the vision and the understanding that we have for our families now in the present. And so we've come up with an idea of what our families are supposed to look like based on maybe the hurt that we've experienced in the past or the blessing that we've experienced in the past. But is that what the Lord wants to do? Is that God's plan for our family or is it ours? We've got to be asking that question in order to be on target. How about this one? There's somebody here this morning, too. Maybe your plans for your family are essentially centered around you. I mean, your plans for your family are all about, you know, what works for you, like your career, you know, your dreams, your visions for your kids. I know there's no one here today who is super fired up about some of the activities that their kids are involved in because it makes them feel good whenever people acknowledge that their kids are doing really good, right? No one here struggles with that, right? Nobody here has a kid playing a sport because you played it when you were a kid and you were either A, really good, or A, or B, not as good as you wanted to be, and so you're living vicariously through your child. No one here is doing that, right? Sometimes our dreams, our plans for our kids are centered around us, what we think we need, and not around the plans or the visions that the Lord of hosts might have for our family. Do you guys remember whenever we were talking about Abraham and Isaac? Do you guys remember? And the Lord tells Abraham to go up on a mountain with his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. Do you guys remember that? And so he does it. He obeys the Lord, right? And we get down to the end of that passage. They get up there, and it's about to happen. You know, Abraham's about to go through with this thing. And the angel of the Lord cries out and says, wait, Abraham, don't do it. And look over. There's a sacrifice over here. And there was a goat that had been caught. And so they offered that as a sacrifice. And then in Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, right, here's the end of that story, and we've talked about this before, but let's look at it one more time. Genesis 22, beginning with verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Listen to this. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Here's the thing. God was building something with Abraham and his family. God had plans, dreams for Abraham and his family. And all he asked Abraham to do was obey him. Abraham, you know, earlier in the story, we see how Abraham even takes the plan that the Lord God has. He takes it into his own hands. He tries to make it happen. We see over and over again Abraham doing that, and over again it turns out terrible, right? It's a failure every time. But in this instance, right, he does what the Lord says. He obeys the Lord, and the Lord says, I'm going to bless you because you obeyed me. Now listen, I need for you to hear me this morning. For those of us out here this morning who are in families, those of us who are one day wanting to start a family, right? Those of us who are married, right? Those of us who one day want to be married. Those of us who are grandparents, right? And we've got grandkids running around. Like, all of us need to hear this message this morning. God's plans, God's dreams for our lives, they're so much better than plans and dreams that we could build for ourselves. In fact, and let me just say this to you with all the love in my heart. When we plan, when we dream for our families, often those plans and those dreams lead to death and destruction, not just for us, but for those we care about and those we love. God's not asking you to lead your family valiantly into a future you have designed. God is asking you to obey Him. Here's the thing, we're much more comfortable leading our families into a future we have designed. Can I just say that? A lot of us, especially us West Texas people, man, we're independent, we're strong-willed. You know, we know the future that we have, and we want, and we're ready to go for that, right? And we know the future that we want for our kids, and so we're ready to tell them, here's what you need to be doing with your life. I already know, right? I'm mom and dad. I got it all figured out, right? That's how we work. That's how we operate. We understand what it's like to stand on our own 2 feet, and that's a good thing, y'all. It's why I love living in this part of the country, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, that attitude, that way of living can lead us to death. And if we're not careful, it can lead our families to death. Because God hasn't asked us to do that. He's asked us to surrender to Him and to be obedient. And you can provide for your family, and you can give your kids everything that they have ever wanted. You can provide a life that they could never have imagined, that you could never have imagined when you were a kid. But if you're not living a life that is surrendered to God, you're not giving them the main thing, the most important thing that they need, which is to understand what it means to be surrendered to God, to live a life surrendered to God. He draws up the plans. So I'm just going to encourage you guys. What would it look like for you and I to go before the Lord God Almighty and to say, God, I want what you want for my family. God, you tell me what you want for my family. I don't want to be chasing this in my own strength. What is it, God, you want for my family? What is it that you want for my wife? What is it that you want for my husband? What is it that you want for our kids? You tell me, Lord, what is it that you want? And I want to surrender to whatever that is. He draws up the plans, y'all. But he also gathers the materials. I don't know if any of you guys have had this experience. Have you ever bought like a piece of furniture, you know, from the store? I would say IKEA, but I can't buy anything from IKEA. So other people might, but I can't do that. But I'll buy something from Target. That's my go-to place, right? And you get the box with it in there, and you have to open the box and assemble it, right? So you start to pull out all the pieces. Anybody ever had this experience where you're pulling out all the pieces and you're like, what in the world is this going to do, right? I have no idea. I think this is a bookshelf, but I have no idea where this piece is supposed to go. Or sometimes they'll actually put the little tools down in there, and you'll pull the tools out, and you'll be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Is it? Maybe it's just me. But sometimes I have that experience when I'm trying to put something together. Maybe you've had that experience whenever you were trying to put something together, right? Well, here's the deal, y'all. If God is gathering materials, if God was gathering the materials for our family, right, when God was putting Amy and I together, I'm sure that her parents had a similar reaction, right, whenever they met me, right? Whenever I called them and said, hey, I love your daughter and I want to ask her to marry me, I'm sure they were like, what is the Lord going to do with this, right? How is God going to use that, right? That does not look like it will fit, okay? I'm sure they had that experience. In fact, I know that her parents probably had that experience because my family had that experience, not about Amy, about me, right? And they were like, what in the world is this poor girl doing? That's what they thought. And so I know that as God was putting our family together in those early stages, that it must have been really confusing. But here's what I want to say to you guys, and it's an encouragement to me. The truth is, right, that it was the Lord God Almighty who put my family together. It was the Lord God Almighty who led me to Amy. It was the Lord God Almighty who gifted us with Carson and with Sadie. God has gathered the materials for the house that he's building in my family. And so there's no questioning that, right? There's no looking back on, there's no wondering about that. God Almighty put my family together. I stood in front of God Almighty and a whole room full of people, and I acknowledged the fact that the Lord God Almighty was gathering the materials for my family, that he had called me to Amy, that he had called us into a life together that he was building. So I know he's gathered the materials. He's putting our family together, just like he's putting yours together. And so here's the thing you need to know, and somebody here is struggling with this. You're enough. Somebody is here like, I have completely failed my wife. I've completely failed my husband. I've completely failed my kids. I'm a failure as a parent and a spouse, and there's nothing good that I can offer to my family. Wrong. Wrong. I mean, other people might look at you and be like, I don't know how that works. But they're not the ones who are putting your family together. The Lord of hosts has drawn you into this family. The Lord of hosts has placed you in this family. And yes, you have something to offer to your family because God has placed you in it. Now, you may not be doing it. You may not be living according to the purpose that God has for you and your family. But the good news is you can. You don't have to keep missing the point of what God wants to do with you and your family anymore. You can change that today by surrendering to God and obeying Him. God has placed you there for a reason. He's got you there for a reason. You have a purpose in your family. Your family, guys, listen to this. Your family right now has everything it needs to become all that God has created it to be. He's putting it together. He's gathering the materials. And so there's some folks here today who might be thinking, you might be looking at your family saying, we're kind of missing something. Something's not right. Maybe if I could trade this piece out for a different piece, our family would work a little better. Wrong. The Lord of heaven's armies has put your family together, and your family right now has everything that it needs. The point is not, are the materials gathered enough? They're enough. The point is, are the materials gathered surrendered to the Lord of hosts? Are the materials gathered obeying the Lord God Almighty, focused on the Lord God Almighty, because we have all we need in our families to accomplish the purpose that He's created for us to accomplish. So we have to surrender our ideas for what our family should look like. We have to surrender our ideas for how our spouse should be or act, for what our children should be like. We've got to seek out God's direction for what He wants for our family. And what does God want to do in your family? We're going to talk about this a lot more as we get into this series. But just to let you know, right, what He wants to do in your family is He wants to build His kingdom in your family. He wants to use your family to build His kingdom in this earth. That's what He wants to do. The greatest calling that any of us can ever have. And He's gathered all the materials that He needs in your family. These are His materials. He knows what they're supposed to be like, and He knows what they're supposed to do, what function they're supposed to play. So we have to let God help us to discern what our family's supposed to be, right? What about the makeup of your family? Don't we sometimes make decisions about the makeup of our family based on our annual income, right? We sometimes make decisions about the makeup of our family based on, you know, based on our comfort level, based on what it is we believe that we want out of our lives, where our career might be taking us. I'll never forget Ruby Tuesdays in Nashville, Tennessee. I was sitting at a Ruby Tuesdays in Nashville, Tennessee, across from my beautiful wife. And while we were eating dinner, she put her hands on the table and she leaned a little bit across the table and she said, Brad, it's time for us to have kids. And I thought, no, it's not. Do you know how much money I make? You know? I mean, we're broke. We're broke and there's two of us. How are we going to add somebody else to that, right? I was like, there's no way we can do this. You're crazy, right? What are you doing? And to be honest with you, she looked a little crazy in that moment. I'm telling you, there was a look in her eye I had not seen there before. So I thought, this is the most bananas thing I've ever heard in my life. But let me just tell you something. First of all, guys, I believe sometimes that there are decisions that we make in our families that our wives are more capable of making than we are. That's one of them, okay? Because I make that decision with a spreadsheet, right? Not Amy. She was making that decision based on what she felt like the Holy Spirit was doing. And she was more qualified in that moment to say whether or not we were ready. I'm just telling you, she was right. I was wrong, okay? But here's the thing. The makeup of our family, we couldn't make that decision based on a spreadsheet. We couldn't make that decision based on the way that it looked for our careers or for our futures or whatever else. It had to be yielded to the Lord of hosts. That's up to Him. Now think about this. There's somebody in this room that God has called to foster. The Lord's been moving on your heart. You're supposed to foster, right? But you're making that, you're like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think our family's ready. There's the money issue. My house isn't big enough. You know, I don't know about my kids. How will they respond? We've got all these thoughts running around in our head about why we're not doing what God has called us to do. Is it or is it not the Lord of hosts who gathers the material for our family? And if the Lord of hosts has said, you're supposed to foster, I want you to invite children who have been neglected and abused into your family because I have a work I want to do. Who are we to say no? That doesn't fit with my plan. Is the Lord of hosts the one who gathers the materials? Somebody you're supposed to adopt. God's called you. You're supposed to adopt. And let me just say this, having been a person who's been adopted, look, all throughout Scripture, God uses adoption as a way to illustrate his love for us. There's nothing that you can do in your life that will paint a picture for the world of what the love of God looks like more than adopting somebody, than giving someone your name, inviting someone into your family. There is nothing you can do to illustrate the love of God more tangibly than that. Somebody in this room has been called to adopt, but you're like, I don't know. I can't do that right now. We've got this going on, you know? I don't know if we can fit that in between T-ball practices. Y'all, is it or is it not the Lord of hosts who gathers the material for our family? We don't determine the makeup of our family. God Almighty does. It's time for some of us to surrender to his will, right? So he draws up the plans, right? He gathers the materials, and then he starts the construction. I went to Puerto Rico this summer with some folks, and we were putting a roof on a house in Puerto Rico that had been torn up by Hurricane Maria, okay? I say we. That's a terrible way to say it, okay? Really, it was T.J. Renfro. He's the one who's putting the roof on the house, okay? He's up there. What we did is whatever T.J. told us to do. That's what we all did, right? He was up on the house doing stuff. He would say, you do this, you do that. He would say, you know, he would say, Blaine, I want you to, you know, drive those. He would say, Justin, I want you to do this. He would say, Brad, go get me some water, right? He told us what to do, and we did it. That's what we did. I want you to imagine if, now remember, I'm the guy who hit himself in the face with a hammer on the first day that we were there. Okay, that's me. All right. Now imagine what it would have been like if we'd have been up on the roof of the house and I would think about me standing on the roof going, you know, TJ, I really think this is the wrong way to go about this. I really think what we need to do is this. In fact, I'm just going to start doing it this way over here. You can do your thing over there. I'm just going to do my thing over here because I feel like it's a better way to do that. Can you imagine how stupid that would have been of me? TJ would have drop kicked me off the roof. In fact, I'm surprised he didn't do that anyway, and I was trying to help. I don't know anything about putting a roof on. I don't know anything about construction. When I'm on the roof in the middle of Puerto Rico, right, I'm going to listen to the guy who does. My job is not to determine what needs to happen on that roof. My job is to stand next to the guy who knows what needs to happen on that roof, and when he asks me to do something, to do it. That's what I do. And friends, that's the way it works in our families. See, it's the Lord of hosts who's doing the construction. It's God Almighty who is building your family. Our job is not to build it. Our job is not to engineer our families. If we do, that's ludicrous. It's stupid. When the Lord of hosts wants to do it, we stand next to the Lord of hosts and we say, tell me what to do. That's what we do. Now listen, the thing is that there are a lot of us here who we're so concerned with raising our kids. We're so concerned with building our families. We're reading all the books. We're watching all the self-help videos. We're trying to be the perfect parents. We're putting all this pressure on ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with books or with self-help videos. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But our focus, if we're not careful, becomes completely centered on our own effort. We're thinking all the time about what we're doing. We're imagining to ourselves that it is our efforts that will raise our kids into the people that they need to become. We're imagining that it's our efforts that can completely mess up our kids beyond any salvation. That's what I worry about, right? I'm sure my kids are going to need some kind of therapy someday because of something I've done. I'm positive that's going to happen. I'm terrified that I'm going to mess things up, and we worry about it, and we think about it, and we're working so hard to do everything right as a parent, but we feel like a failure all the time. We buckle the car seat in wrong. And by the way, you got to have like a an engineering degree or a physics degree to buckle one of those things. You know, it's ridiculous how complicated they make it. Our kids are, you know, our kids are, we're worried about it. We're buckling the seatbelt wrong. We're not reading the right books. They're not a part of the right clubs. They're not doing the right things. They're not eating enough kale. I mean, whatever it is that we're doing, right? We feel like a failure because we're just not getting it right. I was watching this episode of Modern Family, and one couple's trying to get their kid into daycare, but it's got to be the right kind of daycare, you know? And all the other parents were in this daycare, but we were in this daycare. Bad. You know, that's bad. Now our kid is going to be behind, and we're so worried. That's the kind of pressure we live with as parents. But we're not the ones building our family, y'all. It's not our construction or our effort that's gonna cause our family to become all that it's supposed to become. The Lord of Heaven's armies is building our families. We're just supposed to do what he says. What if, listen to this, what if what matters most is not what we do for our kids, what we buy for our kids? What if what matters most is who we are before our kids? What if what they really need to see from us is not all this effort and energy that we're pouring into being a parent? What if they really need to see us surrendered, obedient, chasing after the Lord God Almighty? And guys, look, there's some people in this room who you can check off the boxes, man. You're loving on your kids. You're teaching them. You know, you're providing all these opportunities for them, and they live in a comfortable house, and they have all the opportunities that they could ask for, and you've done everything that the world would say you as a parent need to do in order to be a successful parent, except for one thing. And that is live your life completely surrendered to Lord God Almighty. And if that's the case in your family, I want to tell you something because I love you. Listen to me. All the other stuff will be a waste of your time. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor do it in vain. You hear me? And I've been so guilty of that in my own life. Here's Jesus, the builder. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus the builder. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus is telling this parable. This is what he says. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it's foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains come and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it'll collapse with a mighty crash. Who's doing the building, y'all? Who's doing the building in your family? Let me just stop. I need to say something to you guys, and sometimes there are things that I need to say that are really hard for me to say, okay? But I need to say this to you because I love you. And I believe somebody needs to hear that. I felt the Lord calling me to talk about this morning, okay? I believe that there's some folks here this morning who you've been really working so hard in your family. You've been working hard to be the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect mom, the perfect dad. You've been working so hard in your own strength to be those things, and you're absolutely worn out. And so you're right on the edge of making the decision to just stop. Stop building. This thing's too hard, right? This building thing, too hard. It's not working out. Every time I try to fit the pieces, they don't fit, right? And you're thinking right now about just checking in. Maybe there's someone here this morning who you're on the edge of making a decision not to just stop, but to start like tearing it apart. To start dismantling this thing. I mean, both of those things are destructive. right? Even just not trying anymore. That's destructive. Somebody maybe here this morning and you struck up a flirtatious friendship with someone who's married. There's someone here this morning who you've started to share your heart with someone other than your spouse. I need for you to hear me, please. Look at me when I tell you this. If that's what we're doing, if we've given up, if we're taking steps to start to tear something down, that makes us destroyers. I need you to hear me say that. Destroyers. And it's important because I love you and I'm your pastor. It's important that I tell you that what you are destroying is not something you have built. We should tremble before the Lord God Almighty when we realize that what we're tearing apart is something that He has put together, something that He is making, something that He is building. You and I don't want to be known as destroyers of what God has built. Please hear me. When we do that, y'all, when we tear down what God has built, there are consequences. We will pay an awful price. God is building your family. God is constructing your family. And if you're making decisions right now that are going to tear it down, I need you to hear me say this. It will hurt you, and not just you. But the people you care about the most, the ones that you are responsible for, it will wound them in ways that you can't even begin to imagine right now. Don't start tearing down something that the Lord of Heaven's armies has put together. Please. Please. Look, I can talk to you about that stuff. I can talk to you about that stuff because I have come to a place in my life and in my marriage where I thought, there's no way I can't keep doing this. I'm a failure in every way, right? I've come to a place in my life where I was ready to shut it down. I've come to a place in my life where I was tearing everything up. I've been there, and I'm telling you that by the grace of God, I was rescued from that. By the grace of God, the Lord put us back together. But I need for you to hear me say this. I need you to hear me say this. It left a mark. It will leave a mark. Do not tear down what the Lord God has put together. Don't do it. God builds. We surrender. But listen, God protects. God protects. Psalm 127, the second half of it says, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. A lot of scholars think that this psalm was written during the time of Nehemiah. And during the time of Nehemiah, the wall was torn down, and Nehemiah had returned from exile, right, to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And so the wall around Jerusalem was under construction. They were under a constant threat from their enemies because the wall was down, right? And so every day, you know, while they're building the temple, they actually had to have guys with weapons, like standing up on the top, because at any moment, enemies could attack them. And I believe sometimes in our families, there's someone here this morning, that's how you're feeling about your family, about your children, right? Like under constant attack, or at least the constant threat of attack. And we're anxious. We're stressed out. We want so hard to try to do everything that we can do to make our kids safe. And we'll even take extraordinary steps, right? Extraordinary steps to make sure that our families were safe. I mean, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I rode my bike all over the neighborhood. When I was a kid, I would leave in the morning. I would go out into the woods behind my house. I would come back at lunchtime, right? And then I would eat lunch. I would leave again. I would come back at dinner time, you know? Y'all, I don't want my kids playing in the front yard. I'm terrified of what might happen to him. I'm anxious about what might happen to him. I mean, I got a preteen, a teenager now. She's not even a preteen. As of this week, she's a teenager. I'm scared to death. And I know some of you guys are too. We feel like attack is all around us. The threat of attack is all around us. We're furiously building a wall. We're furiously watching out, right? Stationed up on the wall, wondering, you know, what's going to happen? How do I keep my kids safe? We're spending all of our energy on that. Listen, newsflash, okay? Here's a newsflash for me and for you this morning. We can't keep our kids safe. Nothing we can do can ensure their safety. You don't need me to tell you that. All you have to do is watch the news. I can be the best parent. I can do everything in my power to make sure that my children are safe, but I cannot protect them. The Lord God Almighty is the one who protects them. And sometimes I have to give over control of my children's safety, have to surrender control of my children's safety to the Lord of Heaven's armies. And there's somebody here today that you need to do that. One of my favorite stories is by Erwin McManus. He wrote in his book, The Barbarian Way, one night one of his kids had a bad dream. Okay, Erwin McManus is the pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, founder and pastor of Mosaic Church. And his child woke up, his son woke up one night from a bad dream. And he was crying and, you know, doing the whole nine yards. So Erwin runs into the room, you know, and he's comforting his child and he's holding him. And his child's telling him about the bad dream that he had, about how awful it was. And after he finished telling him all that stuff, he says, "Hey, Dad, will you pray for me? Will you pray that God would keep me safe?" And Erwin McManus said something to his son that shook me to the core. And I want to share it with you. He said, "No, son. I won't pray that God will keep you safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous." Maybe that's who we're supposed to be as parents. We're actually going to talk a lot more about that in the coming weeks, but maybe sometimes the energy and the effort we pour into making sure that our kids are safe, maybe sometimes that energy and that effort, because we're not surrendered to the Lord God Almighty, actually leads them away from the thing that God might want to do with them in the future. And we don't want to do that. Right? God builds. And God protects. What our families really need to see from us is trust. They need to see that we trust God as parents. They need to understand that we have confidence in the goodness of God. They need to see that way more than they need to see the effort and the energy we might pour into keeping them safe. That's what happened with Abraham and Isaac. Y'all, Abraham broke every rule of parenting. He tied his kid up and laid him on an altar. Can you imagine Abraham at the PTO meeting? Can you imagine that? What'd you do this weekend? Well, I went to sacrifice my kid on a mountain. You know, I mean, every rule of parenting he broke. That's the opposite of keeping your kids safe. But what Isaac needed to see from his dad is that his dad trusted God completely. That his dad was surrendered completely to the will of God. That's what was going to shape Isaac into the man that Isaac was supposed to become in the future. And that's what your children, your grandchildren, your future children, that's what they need to see from you. And that's what they need to see from me. Are we surrendered to God? Do we trust God? Can I just humbly suggest to you that there are no two things that are more important in our families than that? And maybe some of us here this morning, it's time for us to commit to those two things. Here's what we're going to do. We're about to enter into a time of communion. So I'm going to go ahead and invite our worship band to come up here and all our communion folks to get into their places. But we're going to receive the Lord's Supper, okay? And let me give you a little bit of instruction on the Lord's Supper, okay? We're going to receive the Lord's Supper because Jesus tells us to do this, all right? And what it means when we're doing this is a symbol of everything that Jesus has done for us. The fact that he sacrificed himself, his body was broken, his blood was poured out for you and I. And so as we receive the Lord's Supper today, we receive it remembering what God has done. Everyone in this room this morning who has received Christ as your Savior, if you're a Christian this morning, this is for you. Okay? You don't have to be a member of this church. Okay? You don't have to like the pastor. Okay? But that would knock out about a third of us, right? So you don't have to be a member of this church. This is not my table. This is not First Baptist Shallow Waters table. It's the Lord God Almighty's table. And if you're a member of his family, you are invited. Okay? So everyone who's a Christian here this morning, you get to partake. All right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time worshiping together and receiving the Lord's Supper. So we're going to pass the elements out to you, and then after this first song, we're going to receive the elements this morning as we worship. But before we do that, I would like to ask you just to stand up, and as we're spending these next few moments together in worship, I want for you to be asking yourself, have I surrendered myself to God? Do I trust God? And then ask yourself, am I modeling surrender and trust for those people in my life that God has called me to model that for? All right? And let's just ask the Lord to reveal that to us as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for your work in our lives this morning. Lord, speak to us, convict us. Reveal to us those places, Lord, where we need to be surrendered to you, where we need to trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.